Realtors will tell you the best time to buy a house is in the late summer months. There are still plenty of houses for sale, but fewer competitors. So if you're in the market, the question is, will you be ready? A home is the biggest purchase you will ever make, so unless you just received a large inheritance, you probably will need a mortgage. So today, host Rob West has some advice to help you land the right one. And we'll take your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Five tips to keep your monthly mortgage payment low next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, as we near the optimal time of the year to buy a home and to get a mortgage, it's important that to remember that finding your dream house is only half of the equation. Finding the right mortgage to buy that home, that's pretty important too, wouldn't you say?
I certainly would, and that's why it's surprising that a government study, Steve, found that nearly half of home buyers don't comparison shop for their mortgage. In fact, they spend more time shopping for a smartphone than they do for a mortgage. So our first tip today is get quotes from several lenders. I would say at least three. Every lender will consider the same factors before offering you a loan, not just your credit rating and income, by the way, but also things like your employment history, assets, and debt. They all look at the same things, but that doesn't mean they'll all come up with the same loan for you. Some may offer a lower interest rate, others lower closing costs, so you absolutely need to shop around. And of course, all of these tips today apply whether you're buying your first house, moving to a new one, or just refinancing your current home.
Okay. You know, I find that a bit strange that people would get a mortgage for a home and not do any comparison shopping. Really? I mean, I'm just flummoxed by that.
Really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. All right. Well, what's next?
Well, next, you want to consider different loan types. And here's what I mean by that. You typically want to look at the length of term. Most people automatically choose a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage because the monthly payments are lower, and that always allows them to buy more house, so to speak. But while our topic is keeping your payments low, you should also consider that a shorter term will mean paying less in interest over the life of the loan because you'll get a lower rate with a shorter term. For example, the rate on a 15-year loan is often a half a point or more lower than a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah, okay. Shorter term, less interest. Got it. What's tip number three?
Well, that would be locking in your interest rate once you've settled on a lender. That way, if rates suddenly increase, you won't be caught off guard. If rates should happen to drop, some lenders offer what's called a float-down option. That just simply gives you the lower rate. In exchange, you may have to pay a fee at the closing table. Keep in mind that lock-in periods usually last only 60 to 90 days, so you should be ready to buy before you lock in.
All right. Good to know. Okay. Next tip for keeping your mortgage payments low.
Well, it's one that a lot of home buyers don't take advantage of because they're usually strapped for cash at the time of closing. But if you can afford it, there's usually an option to buy discount points. Basically, that means paying more upfront at closing in return for a lower interest rate. This is especially helpful if you're choosing a 15-year mortgage. Paying discount points will help keep your monthly payment lower. Over time, the investment, quote unquote, in discount points will pay for itself.
All right. Good information. And that one's a little interesting if you're shopping for your first mortgage when they start talking about buying points. But nonetheless, you'll figure it out. All right. Tip number five.
Well, absolutely. And this one's a biggie. Avoid private mortgage insurance. You know, a lot of folks don't understand what that is. You're essentially buying insurance for someone else, not yourself. PMI protects the lender in case you default on your mortgage. It's of no benefit to you. The only way to avoid PMI, though, is by putting down at least 20% when you buy a home. Lenders are perfectly willing to give you a mortgage with a smaller down payment, but that's because they're protected and it doesn't cost them anything. PMI is added to your mortgage payment, and it's not cheap. Figure at least 1% of the loan amount every year added to your payment. So on a $200,000 mortgage, the monthly PMI would be at least $165. Now, you can have PMI removed once you pay the loan down to 80% of the original balance, or you gain 20% equity through appreciation, but that's only on conventional loans. If you take out an FHA or VA. Their version of PMI lasts the entire length of the loan, so you definitely want to avoid buying with anything less than 20% down. Not only will that eliminate PMI, but if you have to sell it, you'll make sure you have a cushion if the value drops.
Okay, yeah, no PMI. That is a biggie. Listen, when we come back, we'll tell you what the current rates are for mortgages. We just looked them up seconds ago.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
It's the Sunday morning service. We're approaching the crucial halfway point. One person in the congregation is just holding on. Let's take a look inside his subconscious.
Captain, we just can't take any more. His memory banks are completely worn out. Attention span is shot. I can only give you half impulse power.
But Scotty, we need more power. The sermon lasts for another 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, Captain. I'm doing all I can just to maintain his life support systems.
Is the Bible too much for your memory banks? God wants you to understand His Word. That's why He wrote it down. The Bible contains the key to eternal life. So spend time in God's Word, and then tell others about the only way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Whether it's saving, giving, getting out of debt, managing what you have, investing what you have, or maybe it's getting a mortgage, we're talking about it today on MoneyWise. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Here's our phone number. We have open lines at 800-525-7000. Just chatting a second about how to keep your mortgage payments low. And Rob, according to Bankrate.com, we had our researcher, Jim Henry, look this up. A 30-year fixed is going for about 3.4, 20-year fixed, 3.32, a 15-year fixed, 2.86. Do you think those will be moving at all over the next 30 days or so? Or
you know, they have been. Yeah, they actually are ticked back up. That's the higher rate from where they were even a week ago. And it's a lot of it is just a moving parts related to the stock market and the economy and the Federal Reserve. But those are still historically low rates. Expect to pay a bit higher than that on each of those rates for a refi versus a new home purchase. But still very, very good for anyone looking to perhaps save at least a point on a refi or lock in a low-rate mortgage for a new home purchase.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the other big question we always get is how much should I put down for a down payment or how much must I put down for a down payment? Younger people often doing their best to just try to squeeze into some sort of smaller home or mortgage. So what's your recommendation there?
Well, you know, as we said earlier, we'd always recommend putting down at least 20%. That's going to give you a cushion in the mortgage. It's also going to avoid that PMI insurance. Also, just as a rule of thumb, in terms of the resulting payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance from any mortgage you take out, just a starting point, and that's all it is to try to keep that 25% of your take-home pay or less. That's going to make sure that you have plenty available for your other fixed and discretionary expenses, as well as some margin for building your emergency fund, paying down debt, additional giving, or other savings goals.
Yeah, and if you're, again, if you're a young couple, particularly if you're a newlywed couple, maybe this month, the month of June, 20% may seem like a lot. It may seem like it'll take you a little while to save all that up, but it really is worth it in the long run if you can possibly hold off, find God's plan for your life, and again, our recommendation, at least 20% down. All right, let's go to our phones. Barrington, Illinois. Hi, Jeannie. How can we help you?
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Quick question for you. We're considering a refinance because rates are low. What is your recommendation if we have 21 years left on our mortgage and we're more into that principal end?
Yes.
Is it a good idea to start all over again, or should we stay the course and just try to pay more down towards principal?
Yes. So you said you have 21 years remaining. So if just basically what I'm understanding here, Jeannie, you had a 30-year mortgage and you're 9 years in, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Well, you know, here's the thing. If you can save at least a point on the interest rate and you go with a new 20-year mortgage instead of a new 30-year mortgage, you could do a 15-year too, but that may push the interest, mortgage payment up higher than you'd like. So certainly a 20-year mortgage, what that's going to do is going to make sure that you get the savings you need on the rate, which is going to benefit you, and you're not going to restart that amortization based on 30 years, which will mean that you'll still have the same payoff date and avoid you giving up some of that interest savings in the form of a longer term and a longer payback, which will result in higher interest costs overall. So a couple of questions for you. Number one would be, what is your current rate? And then number two, have you looked at perhaps what a new 20-year mortgage might cost you vis-a-vis what you're currently paying?
Yes, I think we're like at four. We're over 4% right now.
Okay,
and like 4.65 maybe. And I want to say there was like 3.32 offered for the 20-year, and then under 3 for the 15-year. Our main thing is, you know, once you have closing costs, and then you start all over with the interest part of it. Is it a good idea?
Yeah, and what that's going to come down to is, again, not lengthening the term. In fact, you're going to be 1 year potentially shorter. But secondly, making sure this is a home you plan to stay in for at least 5 years. There will be a period of time over the next several years where you will be, in a sense, paying off those closing costs, which is why you're going to want to shop this around not only for an attractive interest rate on a new 20-year mortgage refi, but also making sure you keep those closing costs as low as possible. But as long as you're going to stay in the home at least 5 years, you'll enjoy, I would say, at least 15 years of lower interest over the rest of that loan, and therefore you will end up saving quite a bit of money. The only thing that would cause a problem there is if in the next 5 years you decided to move, and then you know, you may come out even or maybe a little bit behind in the sense that you haven't quite paid off the cost of the transaction in the form of reduced interest. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes great sense. And yes, we will probably be here for 5 years at least. Yeah. We're just mainly starting over with the interest again. We wanted to find. But that's helpful. Thank you so much for your help.
Well, you're very welcome, and I appreciate your call today. Make sure you shop around, okay? Go to bankrate.com. There's several online lenders, and then, of course, you could check with your own local bank as well.
Got it.
Thanks,
Jeannie.
Thanks
so much, guys.
All right.
All righty. 800-525-7000, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Marie, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I attended a seminar for seniors where the speaker recommended that so much what you plan to leave to your beneficiaries is lost in settlement with probate and lawyer fees and executor fees and so forth. He recommended that now we should be taking some of the money we think we'll be leaving and buying life insurance, because that will go directly to the beneficiary and bypass all those other expenses. I was wondering what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad strategy. Typically, it's not an issue because you don't normally have inheritance tax. Pennsylvania, my understanding is one of the states where there is an inheritance tax of, I think it's around a little less than 5% on children, 12% on siblings, 15% on other heirs, and the only exemption is around $3,500. So buying some extra life insurance is certainly one way to reduce the amount heirs will have to pay for that inheritance tax. Life insurance benefits are not subject to the tax, so converting non-life insurance assets to life insurance could reduce it as well. Another option, Marie, is to buy a long-term care insurance policy that has what's called a life insurance rider. This way, if you don't use up the long-term care, you can pass the tax-free dollars on to your heirs. But the benefit of that is it will step in if you're one of roughly half of Americans that beyond age 65 will need some sort of long-term care, whether that's in-home care, nursing home, assisted living, something like that, which, you know, can get costly and costs continue to rise. So that might be another option to look for. Again, long-term care insurance, which is going to benefit you, but with the dollars able to be passed tax-free to heirs. I would recommend, though, Marie, if you're going to consider that option, that you connect with a long-term care insurance specialist, somebody who really has a lot of experience in evaluating these policies, knows the various companies that are the most committed to this space, and could present that option alongside just a straight death benefit in the form of life insurance. So you could check with this individual, but I'd shop around with some others there in Pennsylvania. We have some wonderful certified Kingdom advisors there in Lancaster, and we're so thankful for WDAC there. Just go to moneywise.org, moneywise.org, click on Find a CKA, and I know any one of those folks will be happy to help you.
Marie, we're glad you called today. Thank you very much. Love the Lancaster area, especially pretty this time of year. Speaking of pretty, he's Rob West. We'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
There is not a single condemnation against you, no, not one. Because if you're like me, I can see that these sins, I can look back and in my own human thinking, I'll kind of classify and I'll go, well, I can see how that would be true of the following sins. But then you get over to this one, and you get over to that one, and I'm thinking, no, I'm going to live under the blackness of that for the rest of my life. Am I speaking anybody's language? Anybody as self-destructive as me? That I know that one falls under the category, that was so heinous, that was so bad, that one's sticking forever. And he says, not a single one. Not a single one. So you can write down all of them, and not a single one gets to be raised as a condemnation against you. And if we could get that in our heads, what Paul is saying to us, that would free us not to go back. Because the reason why we go back is because we believe in the depth of our belief system, we believe that's who we are. We are the person that does that and did that and did that and did that. We are that person. But if we got out from under that and we could really get it down into the depth of our belief system, no, I'm not. No, I am not.
We hope something you heard today makes you want to deepen your understanding of God's Word. Another way we can help is to invite you to join Beth online at bethmoore.org. While there, look for this month's special offer from Beth. Go to bethmoore.org. That's bethmoore.org. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Do you know if you have enough? enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live, and if we can help you today with any sort of financial question or quandary, give us a call. Open lines at 800-525-7000. Coming up, we have a tithing question. We have a question from a couple who are engaged. And right now we'll speak with Ray, who's in Tampa, and you've got some properties with several mortgages, huh? How can we help you with this, Ray?
Hello. I love your show. I've been listening since Mr. Burkett.
Wow, very cool.
Yes. Yeah, so, thank you. And following those principles, I have several properties. Okay. I have one that's worth about $125. I owe about $33 on it, and the mortgage is 5.25%. I have another one that's a $100,000 mortgage, and that's 3.5%. And my primary residence, which also has rental property on it, is worth about $600,000. The only thing I have on that is a $100,000 HELOC. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering which one to attack first, the HELOC or the smaller one with the higher interest rate?
Yeah. And I imagine you're not having any trouble servicing the debt on the rental properties out of the income you're generating. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So I would look at it this way, Ray. Number one, I like paying off the HELOC first simply because it's a variable rate. And, you know, anything that has a rate that's locked in, I realize that the 5.25% is going to be higher, but it's a fairly small mortgage left on the rental property. And I'd like to get that $100,000 HELOC knocked out as soon as you can, just so you don't ever find yourself in a situation where you have a higher rate. Plus, it's your primary residence, and I'd love to see you, you know, completely debt-free on that. I'd look at these other two as really part of your business, you know, in operating rental properties, generating an income, but servicing the debt out of it. And given that you know what the amount of interest you're paying is, you know what those payments are, you've got it covered through the rental income, even though it's one of them at least is at a slightly higher rate than I'd like to see given the size of it, I'm completely comfortable with that. And you have no problem, it sounds like, servicing that debt. So I'd probably just stay on this current course and just really take whatever you have available beyond your living expenses, beyond your giving, any other short-term goals that you have, and really just attack that HELOC. So if you find yourself down the road in a position where rates are higher or money is tight, you know, at least we get your primary residence into a position where it's completely debt-free, and then the rest you could just, you know, work on paying off over time. So I think that'd be the direction I would go, unless you're seeing something else or that you have a follow-up question.
No, that was basically it. I just thought maybe I'd get the smaller, highest interest rate done first, since it was easiest.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we advocate the snowball method with credit cards, and you could certainly do that here. What kind of free cash flow do you have that you could use to attack these debts?
Oh, I probably have. I mean, even just the profit from them is like over $2,000 a month.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, in a couple of years, you could knock that out completely. You know, and so if you felt better about that, you'd like to just be able to tear one up and feel good about moving on, you know, I certainly wouldn't argue with that. I think I'd just like for you to make some meaningful progress as quickly as you can on that HELOC, just so, you know, a couple of years from now, if situation is different than it is today and rates are considerably higher, we don't still have a significant balance there tied up on a home equity line of credit versus that small mortgage on that rental property.
Ray, we appreciate that phone call. Hope that information helps you. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening all these years. Coeur d'Alene, Iowa. Or no. Let's try this again. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. A slight difference between those states. And Christine, what's your situation?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I just sold my house. It's about ready to close, and I'm getting quite a bit of money out of it. And then my fiance is also selling his, and he's going to be getting quite a bit out of his. And we have a property that we're looking at that we're wanting to purchase. In fact, I just got several lenders to look at today, so I'll take your advice on getting multiple quotes on that. So glad I tuned into that. But just wondering, what are your thoughts on putting that money down on the home or holding on to it, or so do you want me to kind of give you numbers, or
That would be great, Christine. Just a quick lay of the land.
Okay, so the property we're looking at is about 600, and I'm getting about 170, and he's going to be getting about 200.
Okay,
out of his.
All right.
So.
And tell me about the rest of your financial life. I mean, once you all are married and you put everything together, are either of you bringing any significant debt into the marriage?
No.
Okay. And do you have some good reserves beyond the proceeds of this home? For instance, would you have the equivalent of 6 months' expenses in a savings account apart from the proceeds?
Yeah, we do have about 6 months or a little more.
Very good. All right. And then do you feel like you're on track with your other goals, giving goals, saving 10 to 15% toward retirement, those types of things?
Not a whole lot. I mean, yeah, something towards retirement is something we could definitely work on. Also wanted to ask about the market. I feel like it's going to hit low. I feel like it's going to go down. So I kind of wanted your input on that as well, because I just feel like we've been riding so high. And with everything that's been happening, I feel like it's going to be another 2009 thing. But that's just my, after looking at things and looking at patterns, you know, and housing and stuff like that, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. So just a couple of thoughts, big picture on both of these. You know, it's never a good idea to try to time the market. I think what always wins is being a systematic investor, where you're applying God's principles and investing over a long period of time. The great thing about dollar cost averaging, which is what we do with retirement investing each paycheck, is no matter where the market is today or next month or next year, we're buying in at different levels and we're really capturing the long-term moves of the market, which is really what you want. So I'd start 10 to 15% of your total pay into retirement. And then I wouldn't be hesitant to go ahead and put all this money into the home. Stay on the line. We'll finish off air, and we appreciate your call today. We're going to hit a break here.
Thanks, Christine. This is Money Wise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, this is Steve Moore of MoneyWise Live, and this is the Moody Radio Verse of the Week. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Born to wander. That's us. God's people have always been exiles and wanderers. But in Christ, directionless wanderers become pilgrim followers. In Born to Wander, Michelle Van Loon examines the scriptural roots of pilgrimage. She helps you reorient your heart toward the God who leads you home. Discover the freedom of resting in God alone. Born to Wander from Moody Publishers. More at moodypublishers.com.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. For the second time in less than 48 hours, there was a shooting in Seattle's occupied protest zone. Police said the 17-year-old victim was treated and released. The shooting happened late Sunday night in the area known as CHOP, or Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. It followed a pre-dawn shooting Saturday that left a 19-year-old man dead and another person critically injured. New York City venturing into a crucial stage in reopening on Monday. Today, stores let browsers in, offices brought workers back, restaurants seated customers outdoors, residents both welcoming and worrying about the city's rebound from the nation's deadliest coronavirus outbreak. Today marked the second of four reopening spaces, but Mayor Bill de Blasio called it the biggest step. Stocks closing higher, the Dow gained 153 points, the NASDAQ was up 110 today. This is SRN News.
You know, we talk a lot about the importance of getting out of debt, developing a spending plan, having an emergency fund, living within your means, and much, much more. And, of course, talking about it is one thing, but it doesn't necessarily make it easy to do. Fortunately, we have some help that will make it just a bit easier. You know, face-to-face is always best, and we have some MoneyWise coaches all around the country, a fantastic group of volunteers who offer personalized help so you can get started and get on the right track financially and hopefully avoid any snags along the way. And if you'd like to connect with a MoneyWise coach, just visit our website, moneywiselive.org, and click on Connect with a Coach, which is about halfway down the page. Again, moneywiselive.org. All right, let's go back to our phones. Coach Rob West, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Tim, what's your situation?
Hey, Rob, thanks so much for taking this question. It's a question
on
tithing. So certainly the Bible repeatedly calls for God's people to give to him out of a cheerful heart and of the first fruits. Which is, you know, it's clear with gross income and compared to net income kind of thing. And, you know, tithing at 10% being derived from the Lord, the Old Testament called the Israelites. But I have a question on interest and dividends gained on, you know, equity and bond investments. Mm-hmm. From a biblical perspective and worldview, how should a Christian treat this appreciation of investments when it comes to tithing?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Tim, and I appreciate you really articulating your conviction around this. And clearly God's word, as you said, is the admonition is that we should be givers. We should give proportionately. We see that in the New Testament. We should give out of, I believe, first fruits. We should be systematic in our investments. I think we should start with the local church and then give generously beyond that. There's always ample needs around us and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so joining God in his work through our giving by returning a portion of what was already his back to him is a great way. And I like the idea of applying the principle of the tithe as a starting point, not an ending point, because then we give first fruits back to the Lord, and then we certainly give beyond that. And that's really going to always be a function of living within our means, living with contentment, focusing on keeping our lifestyle at a minimum so we can live open-handed and generous. Now, to your question about increases from an interest on savings or investments, you know, absolutely, that would be your increase. Now, it gets a little tricky if it's inside a retirement account just because, you know, some folks, you know, will not have ample cash to take the step of saying on a periodic basis, whether that's every 6 months or every year when you do your taxes, looking at realized gains, so not unrealized gains, meaning paper gains that haven't been realized and could go back down, but realized gains, interest, and dividends, and then writing those dollars that, you know, if you want to give against that, doing that out of cash, because you wouldn't want to take it out of a retirement account and pay a penalty, in my view, and generate a taxable event. But certainly in a taxable account, I think on a periodic basis, and again, usually when you do your taxes, because you're already calculating these numbers anyway, saying, what was my increase? I had my initial investment, I had realized gains and losses, which cancel each other out, and then I either have a net profit or loss, and then on top of that, I have realized dividends and other types of interest income, and clearly that would be your increase. And so if you're applying the principle of the tithe, I would say you would give accordingly. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does. I mean, I thought it was funny me doing my taxes and me, you know, I've never really looked at it, but I'm calculating this interest and dividends, realized certainly, but then not giving to the Lord of that increase. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the heart behind this question, because obviously you want to be found faithful. You want to honor the Lord. And clearly that's the approach with which we ought to take all of our giving. There's not a right or wrong answer for anyone. This is not about checking a box or being legalistic. As you said from the very beginning, this is about giving with a cheerful heart and recognizing we cannot outgive God. And so this is a great posture to be in.
Thanks, Tim. Great question. Palmer, Kansas. Hello, Eric. You want to refinance. What's the situation here?
Well, I got 8 years left on the mortgage. It's 5.5%, and I've got a couple options: either a 15-year variable with the first 5 years fixed, or a 15-year fixed, and there's about 0.5% difference between them. And the higher one is the fixed at 4%. And the first 5 years is 3.5% on the.
Do you have reason to believe, Eric, that you'll be in this home longer than 5 years?
It's actually a farm property, so.
Yeah.
So it's been in my family. My dad bought it in the 80s, so.
Okay, it's not going anywhere. All right. You know, I think the key here is I really would love for you to lock in this rate at these low rates and not have any kind of variable aspect to this. So that 15-year with a 5-year ARM, basically the basic what that's saying is it'll be fixed for 5 years and then it'll begin adjusting based on where the rates are. I don't like that option, even when you can save an extra 0.5 point, just because I'd rather you lock in something low and hang on to it. The only concern I have is unless you're going to prepay more than the payment, I don't like you taking what is an 8-year mortgage, 8 years remaining, and essentially doubling that to a new 15-year. I think, you know, I'd rather see you go with a 10-year fixed rate mortgage. Have you looked at that option?
They don't offer that, but I was planning on continuing my payments at my current rate, so it should pay off.
Yeah. Okay. I would check on that 10-year mortgage. Perhaps, you know, they are out there, and so I'd shop around. You could check bankrate.com. You could check several other places that offer those, even your local bank, and see about that option. But I think I would have them, in either case, run an amortization schedule on the 15-year mortgage at the new fixed rate, which, by the way, your rate sounds a little high. So unless your credit score is low, or perhaps because this is a business as well, just make sure you are getting the most attractive and aggressive rate possible, and that's where shopping this can come in. But run that amortization schedule based on this extra money you're sending every month, and make sure that over the life of the loan, it is worth the refi based on this longer term and the savings you'll realize going from essentially the 5.5% you have now to what you're saying will ultimately be 4%. But I'd stay away from that adjustable rate mortgage.
And Eric, we're glad that you called today. We wish you the best with that. Great question. Thanks very much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Now, we're going to pause for a break here momentarily, but when we come back, we have some callers all lined up, and we don't want you to go anywhere. Joanna, Dawn, and Dennis in Shelbyville, Tennessee, we're coming in your direction. And you know, Rob, these days, it seems like every day is fraught with a little uncertainty, and well, what's going on today? And I guess I better better check the news or maybe not check the news. But people are just kind of wondering, is this an all-time news scenario? Are we facing things in the economy today that this country has ever seen? Should I be readjusting? Should I be hunkering down? I mean, what's the vibe? What are you feeling with the guys that you hang out with on a daily basis?
Yeah. Well, what I would just say, Steve, is every decade has its new thing, right? There's always something. Economic uncertainty is certain, but here's what's true. God is on the throne. He can be trusted, and his principles are true, and they transcend time, economies, stock markets, and tax codes, so we can trust God's word.
All right. Remember that. Uncertainty is certain, and we'll be right back.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It really boils down to whether you want to work God's plan or your plan for your life. Half of all regular churchgoers are trying to earn their way to heaven with church attendance without having bent their knee, confessed their sin, or received God's gift of eternal life as God requires. And then we have born-again Christians still trying to earn God's favor with good works rather than honoring his call to be salt and light in this lost world. It's so easy to play to the favor of man, being honored by your church and your pastor without living in the favor of God. You can't escape the fact that the sharing of your faith is your primary calling. And it doesn't matter if you feel lacking in ability, God wants your availability. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. I was leading a women's group, and my heart broke to hear their painful stories. Broken relationships, health problems, loneliness. They looked to me for advice, and so I turned to Isaiah 38 so they could hear what Hezekiah had to say in the midst of his pain. He wrote, quote, "The Lord has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish, and in your love you kept me from the pit of destruction." When I read that, we all fell quiet, because nothing humbles the soul more than the anguish of heartache and hardship. But all that brokenness is for our benefit. It's what happens when hurting people reach out to each other. So if you're in distress, do what Hezekiah did. Let it humble you. For in due time, God will lift you up.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage. But there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, it's so great to have you out there and to have you listening today, because I just really sense, having done this program now for a number of years, that you're family and that you're friends, and we appreciate your support. Right, Rob?
Oh, we sure do, Steve. And last week we had the privilege of seeing how you responded to the Lord in your giving for Moody Share 2020. And it was incredible. And Steve and I had a blast during the MoneyWise Live hour as we saw you calling and we saw you responding and we saw you giving. And we got to read your short notes and your testimonies. And you, so many of you said you were thankful for this program. And we just want you to know how much we appreciate you. Thank you for giving as unto the Lord. And there's great news, because God's people responded. 25,000 plus people responded and said, "We want to stand with Moody Radio." And so we just want to say thanks.
Well, amen to that. Thank you, Lord. All right, continuing on, Shelbyville, Tennessee. Hey, Dennis, thanks for your patience, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
I just received inheritance, and I'm trying to decide where to put the money.
Okay.
I know an annuity or CD or options. Is there a website to find out the best rates for CDs?
Yes, sir, there is. We like bankrate.com, bankrate, just like it sounds, .com, and you'd be able to go in there and look around for the best CD rates. You're not going to be very impressed, I can tell you that, just because rates are at historic lows, and so I would stay on the shorter end of these durations, just because this is not an environment where the Fed funds rate is, you know, at zero and CD rates are a little bit higher than that. This is not an environment where you want to lock up your money for a long period of time. So you may find that you might as well just stick it in a high yield savings at a American Express high yield savings or Ally Bank or Capital One 360 or Marcus, one of those. But you could also, you know, connect Dennis with an advisor. If you don't already have one, you could look for a certified Kingdom advisor there in Shelbyville by going to moneywiselive.org and just click on find a CKA. And that would be somebody who could help you think through what would it look like to put a portion in bonds and perhaps even a small allocation to stocks, or maybe not, depends on your goals and objectives. But then, you know, perhaps the majority of it in fixed income, including CDs, or all CDs and high yield savings. It really ultimately just depends on what are you trying to accomplish? Where is God calling you? What does your current financial state look like? And how do you proactively manage God's money in a way that allows you to get a return and hang on to it for whatever purposes you have? But to answer your specific question, bankrate.com would certainly get you started.
And thank you for that. But where would I look for a high yield savings? Is there a website for that as well?
Yes, sir. I would say, there's really three that I like a lot. One is Marcus.com, just like it sounds, Marcus.com. And that's the retail arm of Goldman Sachs. The second is Ally Bank, Ally.com. And the third is Capital One 360. .com. Any one of those three would be a great option. They're online banks with great customer service, and you'll find just about the highest savings rates around, and all with FDIC insurance.
Does that work for you, Dennis?
Why?
I'm sorry. We didn't hear that, Dennis. Say that again.
Ally, is that A-L-L-Y?
Yes, sir. .com.
Yeah.
You got it. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you.
Thanks so much. Been listening
right.
for 20 years.
Oh, wow. well, that's great. So you listened to Larry Burkett back in the day, and you're still listening today. We appreciate that.
That's right. We all started around the 6th or 7th grade,
yeah,
as I'm doing
amazing,
the numbers here. Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, Dennis, God bless, my friend. Wadsworth, Ohio. Hello, Dawn. What's your question for Rob West?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I listen to you on a daily basis, and we appreciate your advice.
Thank you.
So where is the best place that I could obtain a free FICO credit score? My husband has a Discover card, and he's the primary card holder, so he receives a monthly FICO score. But since I'm an authorized user and I'm not the primary, I do not get the score. And we've checked around a little bit. We see that Credit Karma has a Vantage score, which might not be the same as a FICO. So I guess, what do you guys suggest? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good question. Discover will actually give you a free credit score even if you don't have a Discover card, although they will probably try to sign you up for one, so just don't do that. But a few others other than Credit Karma. One is called Credit Sesame, just like it sounds. And then a third one, which is equally strange in its name, NerdWallet.com. Any one of those three, if you don't have a credit card that specifically will give it to you, you're going to need to take a look. I can't remember which ones offhand specifically offer the FICO score, but I would check NerdWallet, Credit Sesame, and Discover and use one of those three.
All right, Don? Oh, we
That's
may
great.
Have lost.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call today. God bless
Thanks.
You.
Thanks. Now, we've been giving out this kind of information for a long time, Rob, but I don't remember us ever mentioning Credit Sesame. Is this at all like the Sesame Bagel that I typically pine for?
You know, you are a sesame bagel guy. No, I think it's slightly different. I thought you were an everything bagel guy.
Well, that,
but I guess
that
it just depends
too,
on the day.
But, you know, there's garlic on and everything, and that depends on the time of day and whether or not I'm going to be sitting across the table from you, sir.
Right, and I always appreciate when you opt for the non-garlic option. Thank you.
West Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Joanna. Nice to have you with us today on Money Wise Live.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hi. Okay, so my husband and I have no debt. We got the 6 months put away. And, we have a mortgage that the house needs.
We lost you there for a second, Joanna. Let's do this. Just try to maybe slide over to somewhere with a little stronger signal and then give us the question one more time. We're ready for you.
Okay. Yeah. We have our 6 months already put away, and our mortgage is the only outstanding debt that we have right now.
Okay.
But there are some things that need to be done on the house, and then we also have parents that are retiring and probably moving in. So the question is, do we start attacking the mortgage or do we get the house ready for, where does it, the house priorities of parents living?
Moving in? Well, what a blessing that you all are going to do that, and I think that's something that we all need to be thinking, praying about. What is our role and responsibility there to care for aging parents? Certainly, that is we see that clearly in God's Word. I love the fact that you have this 6 months in emergency savings. That's great. I'd try to leave that there. If you were to next go toward home repairs / preparing the home for your parents or in-laws to move in, would you be able to do that, Joanna, out of cash flow, out of surplus, or would you need to borrow to do that? Tell me what you're thinking.
Basically, because right now we're putting away towards the retirement, and then the surplus is going towards the emergency. So it would be the surplus instead of going towards paying off the mortgage, getting it paid off early, it would go towards the house.
Yeah, very good. So as long as you can cash flow all of this, and I assume you're living on a budget, which is how you're able to do all of this, and you've got the margin in the first place that got you to the 6 month savings. So that's great. So I would, at this point, rather than redirecting toward accelerating the mortgage, which I like, I'd probably redirect at this point toward going ahead and preparing the home for your parents to move in and trying to fund those repairs and improvements, whatever's needed, out of cash flow. And let's just keep paying the mortgage payment as you have been, and there'll be time later that you can accelerate that. But I'd rather you do that than taking on, let's say, another loan because you've taken all of your surplus and you're attacking that mortgage, but now we don't have the funds unless we dip into the emergency savings to do what's needed to prepare the home, which is, I think, a great idea. So I would temporarily hit the pause button on the idea of accelerating the mortgage payoff, and let's get these other things taken care of and then go to that next.
Does that make sense, Joanna? Okay, Joanna? Well, we may have lost Joanna, but okay. Does that make sense, Rob's advice for you there?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks very much. She mentioned, or at least that says in my notes, that her parents were coming home from the mission field and they're going to be moving in. And what a blessing. Well, obviously, it doesn't make any difference what your parents do if you want to bless them and honor them. But in this particular situation, we trust it'll be a great blessing for both parties.
So that's absolutely. Nice. That sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Rob West, here's a quick email. Really quick, from Tanya. She wants to know, how much should I save out of every paycheck?
Ah, I like that. Well, I think you've got to start with that spending plan and really dial back those expenses to figure out what margin you have. I like the idea of you putting 10 to 15% toward retirement. I also like the idea of you putting at least 10% towards savings, and that would start by funding the emergency fund up to 3 to 6 months expenses, and then pivot at that point to other savings goals. That might be saving to buy your next car for cash. That might be saving for a down payment on a home. That might be saving for college, you know, whatever it might be, short, medium term, or long term. But I like the idea of 10% to retirement, 10% for savings, and 10% at a minimum for the Lord, and then live on the rest.
Great information. And if you'd like Rob West to answer an email question for you, just keep it brief, a couple of lines, and then send it along to questions@moneywise.org. questions@moneywise.org. Well, that's it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in and for listening. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our technical crew, Amy, Judy, Aaron, and Jim. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Drive safely. Join us again tomorrow.